Hey, beautiful souls. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast with Toni Gilmore, the show where we untangle life's challenges, discover the power within, and kickstart the journey to a more fulfilling existence. I'm thrilled to have you here, ready to explore the limitless possibilities that await us. Remember, if this blesses you, please subscribe, like, and share with someone. All right, my friends, let's get ready to unwrap the gift of today's conversation. Remember, you're not alone on this journey. So without further ado, let's dive into another episode of the Unstuck Podcast.
Have you ever felt empty? You know, as Pastor Drew was exhorting, I'm reminded that there are times in our Christian life where the pressures, the demands, life itself just drains you of all your energy. And there has to be a place that we can go as Christ followers to get those things replenished. And over the next couple of months, this series called The Spirit-Filled Life is a conversation and an education in how when those moments happen, we have a place to go and be refilled. That there is something within our walk, within the tools, within the covenant that we have with God, that God actually knew in advance we would be experiencing what we would experience, and he knew that we would need help continuing to move forward. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of months, is the Spirit-filled life. Our foundation scripture is Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15 through 18. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. And he makes this statement concerning the times. So be very careful how you live. Live wisely, not like fools. I mean, you should use every opportunity you have for doing good, because these are evil times. Man, he said that back then. What would he say now? My gosh. And then he goes on to challenge them. So don't be foolish with your lives, but learn what the Lord wants you to do. And then he says, don't be drunk with wine, which will ruin your life, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that your word is life-giving. And because your Spirit is in the room and your word is being spoken, the creative power that spoke light be and there was is right in our midst to do a powerful work within us. So Holy Spirit, I prepared the message. You prepare the messenger. Speak what only you can speak, and let it be like an arrow pointing towards the heart of every listener. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was a kid growing up in St. Louis, I attended a church called Rising Star Missionary Baptist Church on LaSalle Avenue, right off of Grand near St. Louis University. My parents would take me every Sunday, and it was there that I got to have an introduction to the Spirit-filled life. Every Sunday, the choir would sing. And as the choir would sing, for those of you that may not be familiar with African-American church, let me educate you. That as the choir would sing, Sister Bertha would take off running around the back of the church. And then it was like popcorn. Somebody would over here pop up, and somebody over there would pop up. And what I'd like to say, my mom was a violent shouter. Because we called it shouting in our church. And when my mom started to cry, me and my brothers started to run. Because we knew that she would catch this thing almost like, you know, it was almost like a disease that you would catch it, that they would call it. You would catch the Holy Ghost. And when she caught the Holy Ghost, she would clear out rows. I mean, her arms would flail and she would go. And my poor little brother, Dewan, who I think may still suffer some brain damage just a little bit, was too small to get away, and some of the ushers would come and grab him. And that was my introduction to the Spirit-filled life. That the Spirit of God was only for shouting and dancing, but wasn't there to help me in my everyday life. And so my introduction or my education was based on an hour and a half moment that scared the dickens out of me and made me not want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. And maybe your story isn't like mine, but maybe you've heard stories or seen weird things that have made you afraid of the Holy Spirit. And here's the challenge. The Spirit-filled life is all about the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit's working in and through us that is the Spirit-filled life. There is no Spirit-filled life without the Holy Spirit. So therefore, if you are afraid of the Holy Spirit, you are missing out on one of the greatest tools, one of the greatest abilities, one of the greatest persons that you could ever have active in your life. See, there are a couple of foundational truths, and I want to just lay foundation for where we're going the next couple of months. The first thing I want you to understand is that for you to live the Spirit-filled life, you must be born again. The theological term is called regeneration. And regeneration is simply the act of the Holy Spirit, the sovereign act of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we confess Christ as Savior, that he takes us from being dead to God to being alive to him. That we, our spirits were dead to God. So, like, I know we like to think sometimes that, you know, I had a relationship with God before I came to Jesus. No, you didn't. Because without the Holy Spirit, your relationship with God, your spirit was dead. And so the Bible tells us that there is this thing called being born again, the second birth. I want to read this. I want to give you scripture on a lot of this. So I'm going to give you quite a bit of scripture tonight. John 3:3-6. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and he's asking questions about this whole faith thing with Jesus. And Jesus says this, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." How can, and then Nicodemus is like, "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asks. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of the water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit." So it is the Holy Spirit, the regeneration, that at the moment you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell inside of you. And we have a threefold relationship with the Holy Spirit. The first part of our relationship with is that he is with us, drawing us to Jesus. The Bible says in John 6:44, and I don't have it on the screen, that no one can come to the Father unless they're drawn to the Father. It is the Holy Spirit that draws you to the Father. So it wasn't your good looks. It wasn't your education. It wasn't how many homeless people you fed or how good you acted. It was the Holy Spirit that wooed you, that drew you to God in the first place. And I like to think of it, and listen, this is more my opinion than anything else. I like to think that my grandmother's prayers, my mother's prayers, were the entrance of the Holy Spirit getting access into my life. But the bottom line is I still had to make a choice. Then the second part of our relationship with the Holy Spirit is he is in us, making us more like Jesus. So now he's in us and he is impacting our character, the way that we live, the way that we interact with God. But he mainly, in this context, helps us with the way we interact with each other. John 14:17. The helper is the Spirit of truth. The people of the world cannot accept him because they don't see him or know him, but you know him. He lives with you, and Jesus is prophesying of a time he will be in you. What a powerful statement that you may have never thought of before is that the Holy Spirit lives in you. When you go to work, he's in you. When you're in the car, he's in you. Wherever you go, he's in you. And he is causing us to become conformed to the image of Jesus. Can I just make this side note? You will never, ever, I will never, ever be able to modify my character enough in my own strength and my own ability to be like Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit's work in me that makes me more like Jesus. And I'll talk to you more in a little bit about how that works. But then there's a third aspect of our relationship with the Holy Spirit, and that he comes on us to do the works of Jesus. So he's with us to bring us to Jesus. He's in us to make us like Jesus. And he comes on us to do the works of Jesus. In Acts 1 and 8, Luke puts it in these terms, quoting Jesus. Jesus tells them to wait. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. See, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on the people of God to do the works of God, but he didn't come in them. What a privilege we have that not only is the Holy Spirit with us, but he is in us and comes up on us, and he's with us, drawing us to Jesus. He's in us, making us like Jesus, and he comes on us to do the works of Jesus. And here's where I want to frame your thinking just a bit. When Jesus was resurrected, he told the disciples to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 4, and 5, he says, once while he was meeting with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for what the Father had promised. Jesus said to them, I told you what the Father promises. John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So in this moment, Jesus tells the early disciples, don't go anywhere, wait for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to come. And we see just a chapter later, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. Now, stick with me. This is an important distinction that I want you to make. So now we go back to Ephesians 5, and we're going to look at verse 18 and the statement that Paul makes. Don't be drunk with wine, which will ruin your life, but be filled with the Spirit. Why is this significant? When Jesus told the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, that was a passive act. It was a passive act that said, you don't go anywhere, wait for the Holy Spirit to come. But when Paul speaks to the Ephesian church and tells them to be filled with the Spirit, that is an active act that he says, there's something you have to do to make this happen. So I'm not waiting anymore after I received Christ to receive the Holy Spirit, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I have to be an active participant. Because here's the truth. God is more than enough, but Sundays are not enough. And if your only feeding is on a Sunday morning for the hour and a half, that we're in the sanctuary and you wonder why by Monday afternoon you are depleted, because Sunday was never supposed to be the only place that you get filled. The reason why we have our Bibles, the reason why God created worship music, the reason why we have access to more biblical literature than we ever have is because God knew that we would need to be filled more now than we've ever needed to be filled. And the question is, if you are dry, if you are empty, my question is, have you done your part? See, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a choice. It is a choice that we make, and it's actions that we take. It's not sitting back and waiting. So now I'm not waiting on Pastor Elijah to sing the right song to make this experience happen for me. No, as a matter of fact, what I've learned, I don't come to church to worship. I bring my worship with me. That I start my worship before I get to church so that by the time I get here, I don't need to be warmed up. I don't need to be primed or pumped. But what I did that morning couples with what happens in that moment, and it's like a match. When the first chord is hit, boom, wildfire. Because I'm not waiting on Sunday morning. Because God is enough, but Sundays are not enough. You know, my wife and I, she started this rhythm for us. We get gas every Wednesday. And it was Fridays, but we switched to Wednesdays. And what I noticed is that when I need gas, I have to go to the gas station. The gas station isn't coming to my house. And here's the thing. Depending on the usage of my car that week determines how much gas I need. So I live in a part of the city. If I go up north and I run my AC, I'm going to need more gas than I would if I didn't go anywhere and didn't run my AC. I want to submit to you today that your gas station, your filling station, is the presence of God every time you enter into his presence. And if you're waiting to enter in on Sunday mornings, you're floating on empty, and you're going to be on the side of the road somewhere having to call somebody to fill you up. But what I have learned is that with our rhythms of getting gas every Wednesday, I use a certain amount of gas, I put that gas back. Can I tell you that's how we should be every day? Because every day we're interacting with crazy people. Every day we're interacting with situations that rob us of our peace, rob us of our joy, deplete us of the Spirit's work in our life, and we have to be refilled. So the way we get refilled is we go to God's gas station, his presence. And when we get into his presence refills us, and we can now fight another day. And sometimes, depending on the level of fight you're in a season, you need more gas. So in the seasons that I'm fighting the hardest, I got to go to the gas station more. Sometimes I can go to the gas station just at 6 a.m. and I can make it through the day. But depending on the use of my life and the things that are happening, sometimes I got to go at 6. Sometimes I got to go at noon. Sometimes I got to go back at 8. Why? Because life is depleting the Spirit's work. I need more gas. And the challenge is, when you don't know that, and you think that Sundays are enough, and you are living out of your flesh instead of out of the flow of the Spirit. A Spirit-filled life is a life that has been born again, renewed by the Holy Spirit, and lives under his influence and control daily. I love the way that Charles Stanley puts it. His book, The Wonderful Spirit-Filled Life, was a book that actually changed my life years ago. He says, try thinking of it as a voluntary choice to surrender to the Holy Spirit's control, to be sensitive to his leadership and guidance, obedient to his promptings, and dependent on his strength. Oswald Chambers puts it like this, the author of My Utmost for His Highest. From the contrasting commands, be not drunk with wine wherein there is excess. Be filled with the Spirit. We would justified in concluding that the person who is filled with the Spirit will be dominated and controlled by the Holy Spirit, even as a drunkard is dominated and controlled by intoxicating wine. So if you ever want a picture of what it looks like to be led by the Spirit in Spirit-filled life, it's living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And I want to leave you with this tonight, that As we kick this series off, there are three life choices that you will have to make to live a Spirit-filled life. The first choice that you have to make, and before I go, let me say this one thing, because this is important. You have all the Holy Spirit that God is going to give. God is not dishing out more Holy Spirit in your life. The challenge is, how much of the Holy Spirit does he have of you? How much of you does the Spirit have? Because that will determine how you experience his life. And here are these three choices. The first choice you must make is you must live a dependent life. John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. And this is the part. Apart from me, you can do nothing. For us to experience a Spirit-filled life, you must come to the overwhelming realization that I am helpless and hopeless without the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. That it is understood that I can't be the husband, can't be the wife, can't be the leader, can't be the employee, can't be the person that God wants me to be without the Holy Spirit's help. It's when I come to that place of total dependence that I'm on my way to living the Spirit-filled life. I want to tell you, for all my independent people in the house, as long as you hold on to your independence from God, you will not experience the Spirit-filled life, because God is looking for people who are totally dependent on him. And if you live your life where you try all these things first and then decide to come to God, you will constantly be chasing your life of consequences and issues. But when you come to the realization, God, apart from you, I can't do any of this. I'm desperate for you, God. Without you, I can do nothing. Now you're in the place where God can say, here's my power. Here's my strength. Here's my wisdom. So that's number one. Number two, you have to make the choice to live a surrendered life. That you have to make a choice that you are surrendering your life to God. You're yielding your life to God and saying, God, I yield my dreams. I surrender my desires. I surrender my way of thinking about the opposite sex. I surrender my way of thinking about morality. I surrender my way of thinking about sexual identity. I surrender my way of thinking about all of this stuff to say, what do you say about it? What does your word say about it? And it is in that place of total surrender that God begins to endow you with more of his power, more of his strength, more of his grace. And here's the challenge. There are moments where God will allow you to come to the end of yourself to surrender and be dependent. We call this brokenness, where God allows seasons of brokenness for you to get to the place where you can finally be dependent and surrendered to him. And in these seasons, you want to blame the devil and you want to blame people. But a lot of these moments are God-designed moments, because he wants to get something to you and through you. And he can't get it there while you're being independent and doing your own thing. It's crazy that you could look at a breakup and look at that breakup as the worst thing in the world that happened to you. And God's like, oh, I'm sorry. I orchestrated that. Because you were so dependent on him or her, they were taking you away from me. So I orchestrated them cheating on you. I orchestrated their stupidity. Why? Because God will allow those moments so that he can get you into the place where you are surrendered and dependent. And you're like, well, that doesn't sound fair. That doesn't sound right. You know what? If you knew what God had in store for you, he's like, you are stuck on this when I've got something greater in store for you. So I got to move that out.
even if it hurts for a season, so I can get you what's going to be best for you. And then the third and final one, and this, listen, I don't hear this one talked about a lot, but I got to say it because he gave it to me. If you're going to live a spirit-filled life, you got to live a crucified life. I know I felt that in the room. Ooh! Galatians 5, 24 and 25. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so he says, God's not crucifying your flesh. You and I are crucifying our flesh. And here's the deal. The crucifying of our flesh is really taking those appetites and those passions that don't line up with God, that lust that doesn't line up with God, that greed that doesn't line up with God, that pride that doesn't line up with God, and it's killing it. And here's the thing. You've got to kill it. So how do I crucify my flesh? How do I kill those things? I'm glad you asked. You're so astute. You starve it. If you want to kill it, you starve it. You wonder why you're still struggling with pornography. It's because you may not be looking at pornography, but you're still looking at things that trigger your pornography. You wonder why you can't get away from an issue or can't get away from a habit that's separating you from God. It's because you keep feeding that habit. When you starve your flesh and feed your spirit, over time, your spirit becomes more dominant. But you can't say, God, take this away, and you're still feeding it while you're doing what you're not supposed to be doing. God, take this away. He's like, you crucify your flesh. Stop feeding it. And when you stop feeding it, it begins to die. What happens is this, and you'll be amazed, because for some of us who've walked through different issues and different challenges, you're like, I can't ever imagine a life where I'm not visibly struggling with lust or visibly struggling with drugs or visibly struggling with whatever it is. Here's the thing about a spirit-filled life. When you starve your flesh and feed your spirit begins to dominate your passions and your desires. And what happens is you begin to turn away from that thing and turn towards God. And what you'll find out is that it's been 10 days, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. Why? And you don't stop, because here's the thing. At the moment you stop starving and stop feeding your spirit, it gives that thing a chance to catch back up to you. This last illustration, and then we'll break into groups. You have two pit bulls on either side. Which one's going to be the strongest? The one you feed the most. If you're feeding this pit bull lettuce, and you're feeding this pit bull kibbles and bits 3 times a day, and they're equally strong, over the course of time, lettuce is going to wear bra out. This dog going to shrivel up to almost nothing, while this dog will become strong and stout and will be able to go boop. When we crucify our flesh by starving it and feeding our spirit, what ends up happening is that the Spirit of God becomes more alive. You become more sensitive. You sense Him in ways that you've never sensed Him before. And it's through fasting, it's through prayer, it's through the Word. What I've learned is you don't just stop doing a thing, you replace a thing with the thing. Because when you stop doing it, you're simply thinking about, I'm not doing it. But when you say, you know what, where I used to watch pornography, or where I used to overeat, or where I used to smoke and all that, I'm going to replace that time with God. Eventually, the spirit-filled life begins to take over, and life hits different. So tonight, I want this for us so bad, because when you begin to walk in the spirit-filled life, church is different. Church isn't even church anymore. Church becomes a part of your spiritual formation, not your full spiritual formation. And tonight, as we get in the groups and some of the questions are going to dig, let's talk about it. Let's challenge each other. Let's encourage each other to continue to grow in this. I believe God wants to do something significant in our church and wants to use us greatly. But the spirit-filled life, that's where this baby's going to start.
Thank you for joining us on another insightful episode of the Unstuck Podcast, where we navigate the journey of self-discovery to help you find your purpose. If you've enjoyed today's conversation and want more inspiration on your path to purpose, be sure to hit the subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. As a matter of fact, help us spread the word by sharing this podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone on their quest to break free from the shackles of uncertainty. Your support means the world to us. If you found value in our discussions, we would greatly appreciate if you take a moment to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback fuels our mission to guide more individuals towards a life filled with purpose and fulfillment. Remember, you're not alone on this journey. Stay tuned, stay inspired, and stay focused. Until next time, this is the Unstuck Podcast, helping you unlock the door to your true purpose. God bless.